Before we get into the episode, I wanted to give you a quick update and a thank you to the people that have donated to the FitCast so far. Since the first week or so, the donations have dried up, unfortunately. And I have to just mention again, if you enjoy the FitCast and you want to help keep the show going, if you've gotten anything out of these last 300 episodes and you're in the position to do so, please go to thefitcast.com and click on that donation tab on the website. Via PayPal, you can make your donation through your PayPal account or with any credit card, so they make it really easy. So again, going forward, we do need your support. Please go to thefitcast.com and show your support by making a donation via PayPal. Thanks, and here's the episode with Craig Ballantyne. Welcome to the FitCast. This is episode number 295. I am Kevin Larrabee, and I'm very happy to have back on the show Craig Ballantyne from TurbulenceTraining.com and most recently EarlyToRise.com. Craig, how are you doing?
Really fantastic. And hey, congratulations. 295 episodes. That's amazing.
Well, it's been funny. Like going up to episode 300, I've been trying to get on like my favorite guests and then the people that have really meant the most to the show. And I still remember it was a little bit over. I guess it was almost 7 years ago or a little bit longer than that. It was 2006. So we're talking, wow, okay, a long time ago. But anyways, I sent out an email to you and you were the very first person to agree to come on this no-name podcast to talk about stuff. And I cannot thank you enough for that. You're really the first supporter of the show. So it's great to have you back on.
Do you remember what the number of podcasts it was that was the one we did?
Episode 2.
Wow.
it was a two-parter that we did too. It feels like hundreds of years ago, but like looking back at my date log, it was April 20th, 2006. So,
well, a lot of things have changed. I mean, it's amazing to see what you're doing now and you know, learning from Mike and, you know, the knowledge that you have and you're spreading. And so that's really, really wonderful, man.
Well, yeah, let's talk about, you know, what you've been up to, too, because I think the last time we had you on, you're doing stuff at TurbulenceTraining.com. But, you know, I'm really interested to see, you know, how you got involved with Early to Rise, just because it's a website that I've been getting a lot out of. And I know Mike, you know, talking about Mike Boyle, you know, he uses a lot. So how did that all start?
Well, I mean, I first started reading it back in like 2001 or 2003. I can't remember the exact time. And it was written by a gentleman whose real name is Mark Ford. He wrote many books under the pen name of Michael Masterson. He's a very successful entrepreneur in South Florida, which was where Early to Rise was headquartered. And then he basically decided in about 2009 or 10 that he was just going to stop writing it because he had said everything he wanted to say, and he'd literally written over 2,000 articles for the site. He's a really, really great guy, really like a Renaissance man, you would say. He knows so much about so many things, from art to wine to building businesses. And so he moved on to a new company, which is really fantastic, and has something called a Wealth Building Club, which shows people how to make money with their talents. And it's at the Palm Beach newsletter. So that's his new company. And so we actually bought it from him. So that's how I got involved with it. And once I bought it, nobody could stop me from getting involved in it, I guess. So now I write one article a week for it, and then we get contributors to write. And so we send out essays, what we call essays. They're 800 words long every day. And in addition to that, there's tips on other stuff in the daily emails. So that is Early to Rise in a brief description. And it really has, you know, at one time it had 350,000 subscribers. It no longer does. It maybe has half of that today because there was a period in between 2007 and when we bought it where not as much effort was put into the business as days passed. And so things have changed. But me and my business partner, Matt Smith, who's not in the fitness industry, we want to return it to its glory days where it really helped a lot of young entrepreneurs like myself. And I know a lot of guys who are very, not, you know, Mark Zuckerberg wealthy, but who are wealthier than the average person because of what Mark Ford had written in Early to Rise, just, in the free content he delivered. So it's a personal and professional thing for me, and so I love to do it.
Yeah, and for people out there that haven't checked it out, it's not just if you're strictly business-centric, just for your own personal development, there's tons of great stuff on there, and, you get emails every day it's good in the morning to get a little bit of motivation to just get your, fire going in the morning as well. So definitely check it out, and at least sign up for the newsletter if you want to get a better idea of what it's all about.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
So also with Turbulent Training, because again, we're talking 8 years ago now, but originally I had you come on because and this is so weird, because when I started getting into fitness myself, one of the first things that I got into and that really helped me get into good shape initially was Turbulence Training. So I want to ask, just since starting, what are the biggest lessons that have you learned when it comes to help people reaching their goals? Because, again, like I talked about 8 years ago, but you were even doing it before, I talked to you on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote my first Turbulence Training article in 2001, just in October of 2001. So I didn't actually turn it into a product until about 2003, but one of the biggest lessons that I've learned was when I finally ran a transformation contest and how that helped people finish things off, because a lot of people still drop out of those things. I would say that 80% of people that say they're going to do it or even, take the before photo still drop out.
Wow.
So that's important for, boot camp owners and personal trainers and people that run gyms, that you're still going to get a high level of dropout. Unless you have them kind of fenced in, like they do at Biggest Loser, you're going to get these people dropping out, because it's all about habits and, a lot of people are trying to change too many of them at once. So that was big. And then also, I came up with what I call 5 pillars of transformation, and those are quite simple. And if you have them all in place, you're going to have a much greater odds of success. It doesn't just refer to physical transformation; it refers to mental transformation as well, transforming, changing anything in your life. And so, those 5 pillars are planning and preparation, and it has to be planning and preparation beyond what somebody has done in the past. It has to be really extensive planning and preparation. Can't just be, okay, I'm going to lose 20 pounds and enter this contest. It has to be, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, enter this contest. Here's how I'm going to do it. Here are the things I'm going to change. Here's my grocery list. It has to be that level of planning and preparation. So there has to be a higher level of planning and preparation. Then there needs to be professional accountability. And so I have lost this reference, but there was a study from Stanford that has to be from the late 90s or early 2000s that show, if you're accountable to a professional, like a doctor, a personal trainer, or a nurse, you have a higher rate of sticking to what you say. So if you say to your friend, I'm going to quit smoking, and you say to your doctor, I'm going to quit smoking, or you have somebody else say to their doctor, I'm going to quit smoking, the person who has the professional level of accountability should get greater results. And so that's great for any personal trainer listening. It's just, more ammunition to say, hey, you need to tell me what your goals are here and not just keep them to yourself, because you need that professional accountability. Although any accountability is better than none. The third is social support, which is kind of hand in hand with accountability, but social support goes two ways, in that you need to give it as much as you need to get it. And so when people go out there, if you just think back to when you were a beginner trainer and somebody asked you, hey, can you teach this course, or, maybe teach a group of high school kids something, and you were still kind of learning it yourself. And then when you go up there and you teach the kids, you learn a lot, almost as much, if not more, than the kids, because you're understanding how to explain things properly, you're reviewing your material. And so it's really important for people that are looking to get social support, which means positive social support from other people, You know, people that will say, hey, you can't go out and drink six beers and eat 14 chicken wings tonight if you're trying to lose those 20 pounds. But it's also important for people to give that social support. And so whether it's a membership site like my Turbulence Training Forum, or whether it's a Facebook page, or whether it's a boot camp, or there's that in-person social support, that is just an incredible piece of the puzzle. Because a lot of people, you know, don't have lives like you and I do, where we know all these positive people. If you go into, you know, the blue collar part of your town and hang around outside houses or inside houses, you're going to find a lot of negativity there, and people are not going to be supporting other people. Then you're going to find a lot of negativity in nice houses too, but you're going to find probably more negativity in those positions, which is where a lot of our clients are coming from, especially in boot camps. And they go home and the husband wants nothing to do with change, and he wants nothing to do with his wife changing. And so it's very difficult. And so you need to have that social support. And even if it's a stranger on the internet, it can make all the difference in the world. It's really, really incredible. The fourth one is an incentive. So you need to give yourself an incentive, and it can be a negative incentive or a positive incentive. A positive incentive meaning, you know, if I do this, I'm going to buy myself a pair of jeans that are two sizes smaller. Or if I don't do this, then I'm not going to go on the vacation to Club Med with my friends. You know, it can be the carrot or the stick. You know, it depends on what you work best with. But we like to have the incentive positive. And, you know, in our transformation contest, we give away a lot of money. I think I've actually given away over, not given away, but I've paid out literally over $150,000 through my transformation contest. Now, most of it was through a big one that we did at Early to Rise this year. Not this year, maybe it was last January. It was $100,000 over four categories. But even in my Turbulence Training Transformation contest, we give out probably about $7,000 per contest, and we run three of those contests per year. And my first one was in 2008. So I've paid out a lot of money to help a lot of people lose a lot of weight. And it's great, because a lot of those people have gone on to become turbulence trainers and personal trainers of all kinds, and to help a lot of people. So it's a nice little snowball effect. And then the fifth and final pillar, really important. Everybody's heard that a dream or a goal is a dream with a deadline, or a dream is just a goal without a deadline, something like that. But the deadline is really, really important. And you'll see a deadline work for everything in life. So, you know, in the business world, it's incredible. It still amazes me to this day how many people wait to the last minute to take action when I'm having a sale on a product. But in the last 6 hours, like let's say I had a sale on a product for three straight days, and in the final 6 hours, I would get nearly the same number of sales as I would from the past 2 days. In the final 6 hours between 6 p.m. and midnight, if the price is going to go up. It's amazing how people are motivated and incentivized by the deadline to actually finally do something. And so, you know, that's built into the transformation contest. You have 12 weeks. It's great because there they have this endpoint, and everybody can change in 12 weeks. I've done the math, and 12 weeks is 0.3% of a 75-year lifespan. So 0.3%. So everybody can change for 0.3% of their life, right? And so it's such a small number. And so that's another thing that trainers can use in their motivational tools for getting people to change, whether they're doing a contest or simply a 12-week personal transformation. So those are my five pillars, and the contest has been really, really big.
So another thing I wanted to bring up that I forgot to mention before is there's a kind of an infamous video that you and Brad Pilon did years ago, an extensive study on diet versus exercise, something that is constantly referenced. But I need to ask, is there any update? You know, does you know, diet still win?
Yeah, you know, we actually did, I know there was at least three videos, and John Barbin's in there too, where John, I think, is eating a hamburger and a soda. So those videos are up. And there's another one where Brad eats a giant espresso brownie and a Starbucks thing. And the great thing is we filmed all those videos in about an hour. So Brad eats a pizza, a giant Starbucks frappuccino, and a giant espresso brownie in about 25 minutes. And he was hurting after that. So I did. I guess in a way I got my revenge on those guys because I did all the exercise and they got to eat the food. But at the end of the day, there's been a couple quotes I found from researchers that interval training study by Steve Boucher. There's I looked up a lot of articles on him. He's an Australian researcher. He did the 12 or 15 weeks of interval training versus 30 to 40 minutes of cardio three times a week. And he's the guy that found that interval training worked better. That was like a 2007 or 2008 study. And there was one article where they interviewed one of the subjects, and the subject lost like 6 pounds on interval training. And she said she didn't change her diet that included donuts every day. And so aside from her, I pretty much haven't gotten anybody else to be able to say that exercise can beat diet. So at the end of the day, as much as I would love, for promotion of turbulence training to say that turbulence training can out-train a bad diet, I don't think I can pull that one off. So it really is still the most important thing. I can prove or have proven, these guys who've done these stunts where they only eat at McDonald's for 90 days and they lose weight. Yeah, I mean, anybody could do that if they knew what to eat. So, yeah, you can eat fast food and lose weight, but it's not the healthiest thing in the world. And the average person would have no idea how to do it and would not have the discipline to do it because there's no incentive for them. So, yeah, diet, unfortunately, is still the best.
Bummer. All right. Well,
yeah,
just making sure, because that's still like a video that constantly, whenever I go to youtube.com, like there's always like these related videos and recommended videos. And for some reason, that video is always on the front page for me. So it's just kind of, I always get a chuckle out of watching that. And just again, very, very scientific, laboratory results and all that stuff. So very cool. If people haven't checked that out, I'll make sure to put that in the show notes as well. But it is a very fun video to just watch. So you kind of referenced this a little bit, but, one of the big things that I'm interested in most these days is, helping people reach their goals, just because, a lot of people will know what they want, but they might even know how to get there, but they still struggle with reaching their goals. So I don't know, do you have any thoughts on just, our advice for people out there on helping to reach their goals and making sure they don't, forget about them?
Well, it goes back to one thing that you said in there. They know what they want. And I think that the truth is a lot of people don't know what they want, or they think they want something that it's really other people want it for them. Mm-hmm. And here's a personal example. I decided I was going to do the Early to Rise transformation, which had the prizes for changing in wealth, health, and wisdom. And I said, my wisdom transformation is I'm going to learn how to play chess. And, I tried a couple online games and then I quit. And the truth was, I really didn't care about learning how to play chess. It sounds good. And a lot of people, at the end of the day, they know that they should lose weight, and they know that January is a good time to lose weight, and so they go to the gym. But at the end of the day, they don't really want to lose weight. I mean, it's not that important to them because there's so many other things that are important to them. So for anybody out there who thinks they want to change, they have to really sit down and do some introspection and say, do I really want this change? And if they really do want to change, then they're going to succeed, because then they're going to make the effort to put all those other things into place. And so what I decided after a couple of weeks of like realizing I don't care how to play chess, and it really was just to like sound like I was, smart or something, I really decided that I wanted to take up meditation. I knew that it was good for me, And I knew that I really wanted to do it. And I failed at it twice before, but I decided at that point that I was going to do it. And so the day I decided to do it was like January 27th, 2013. And I started on January 28th, 2013 at the Vinoya Hotel in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I have not missed a day since. Some days I've only been able to do 5 or 8 minutes, but on a regular day, an average day, I'm doing 20 to 23 minutes of meditation every single day since I started. And because it was a goal that I wanted to achieve, that I really, really wanted to. I was doing it for myself, not doing it for other people. So that's really important. If someone's struggling to reach their goals, they need to step back and honestly ask themselves if their goal really matters to them. And if it doesn't, then they either need to find a way to make it matter to them, or they need to leave it alone and move on to something else and maybe come back to it in the future, because everyone goes through what my friend Luciano Del Monte, who's Vince's father, Vince Del Monte's father, he refers to it as, there's different seasons in your life. And so, as a young man, you're going through a season in your life where you're getting mentored, you're growing your career. Soon you will be going through the family season of your life where, career will take a back seat to family, and you'll go through your family season of your life. And then you'll maybe once the kids are 8 to 10, the business will jump back up and it'll be almost as important as the family. And so that season, and then, everybody has these different seasons, and maybe you'll go back into, competition season. And we have all these seasons in our lives, and people just have to think, maybe this isn't the season for my goal, and I'll come back to it. And, unless it's like life threatening, like if you're smoking 4 packs a day, then you should probably make quitting smoking your number one priority. But really what it comes down to is being honest with yourself through some introspection. But I guarantee that you can actually do anything you want to do once you get those 5 pillars in place. And last personal example I'll give you is I did something that a lot of people would never even think of doing, which I actually gave up swearing. And if swearing was smoking, I would have been like a 4-pack-a-day smoker. I'm like the hardcore stuff too. But I was able to stop that. I was able to stop swearing in 6 days when I decided to do it. And it was because I had those 5 pillars in place.
Do you ever, for things like that for yourself, is that all, personal regulation, or do you ever, go and tell someone about it as like a check and balances or something like that?
A lot of this stuff, I do have an accountability partner in Matt Smith, who is my business partner. Mm-hmm. Again, he's outside the fitness industry. He's a really intelligent guy. He's one of the smartest businessmen I know. Takes no baloney from me. So I have him. Bedros Koulian is another guy. Because mm-hmm. I'm really hesitant to share stuff like, when I want to change something that's personal to me. Because I want to make sure that I'm not going to fail at it, and two, I'm a private guy, and then I think actually really it's I don't want to look like an idiot by failing. And so but when I'm ready to share it with somebody, I do, and I recommend that everybody else do the same. As hard as it is, if you choose the right person to tell, it will increase your odds of success, I would say exponentially. I mean, it's just so important to have somebody who will look you in the eye and give you that face when they know you're doing something, and they'll call BS on you. And then there's, it's also important for them to, smart people are going to have good resources for you, and they're going to have ideas that you wouldn't have thought of. They're going to refer you to people that you wouldn't have thought of. And so it's really, really important. And so it goes all the way back to the earlier Rise question at the start. I started reading this thing in 2001 or 2003. And in 2006, I got business coaching from Tom Venuto, and I told him, his first question to me on my first call with Tom was, he said to me, what do you want your business to look like in 5 years? And in 2006, I said to him, well, I want to have a business like Early to Rise. And he knew what it was. And I had been writing like these tiny little health briefs for it as a freelancer. But I told him in 2006, and then it was, I think I calculated that it was 5 years, 3 months, and 11 days when Matt called me from a conference and said, "Hey, I'm here with Mark Ford, who owns ETR. Would you still like to buy it?" Because a year and a half earlier to that, I had told Matt in the Tucson airport, we were coming back from one of Yannick Silber's weird Maverick trips with Tim Ferriss in the desert of Arizona, and we were stuck in the airport, and Matt and I were talking. I said, "Yeah, you know, I still want to have a business like Early to Rise." So it was, you know, throwing it out there to the universe, and, you know, he was the guy with the resources. Matt was the guy with the resources to bring my dream come true, really. And so I think it's important for people to tell other people who are positive. You really have to make sure that you can trust the other person that you're telling. But once you do, and sometimes it's easier to trust somebody you've never met on the internet than to trust somebody that you know in person, because they could turn around and use it on you in a bad way, you know, if you were in an argument with them. So you have to be careful. But yeah, you should tell people that are able to help you with your goals, because people want to help other people. You know, the thing about the fitness industry is we're in a great industry. Mm-hmm. We do have a lot more positive people here than you'd probably see in the legal industry or something like that. But because there's good people, generally good people will go out of their way to help you for no good reason other than the fact that it just feels good to help people. And so, yes, at the end of the day, long answer to a good question, you should tell people what you want to achieve. It's really going to help.
You brought up a subject that I wanted to hit on for a second, a question that was submitted on Twitter this morning, and just the idea of like blocking out people that, you know, doubt your abilities or are just negative in terms of life or in business. And you gave some advice, but I was wondering if you could share that on here as well.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, you have to decide what's more important, whether it's being associated with this person who is negative or whether it's you, you know, removing that constraint from your life. You know, let's take a look at friends first, and then we'll move towards the more difficult ones, which are family. I mean, you can, just because you're friends with somebody doesn't mean you have to be friends with them forever. And if they really are nothing but negative, it doesn't make any sense to spend time with them. So, you know, start to slowly cut back on time with them, see how that changes your life, your attitude. You know, people grow all the time. So, you know, if you think back to high school, I mean, you hang around some people, maybe they're on the fringes of your social circle, and you go away to college and they go away to college, and, you know, you see each other maybe 6 months later at Christmas for the first time, and you've both gone in quite different directions. You know, at the end of the day, that's life. That's the way things work out. And so just because you were friends with somebody for 14 years doesn't necessarily mean it's the best thing for you to be friends with them for another 14 days. And so you just have to make a decision about what's best for you and your goals. And then you move generally away from them if they're a negative person that's holding you back. If you want to stop drinking and partying all the time, then it's not a good idea to be living in a house with guys who drink and party all the time. I mean, it's nice to know guys who drink and party all the time when you're 23 or 24, but it's not great to live with them. And so you just have to, again, it's all about introspection. And I have this overriding belief, and I've wanted to write about it for a while now, but I don't think that most people spend enough time in what I refer to as introspection, which is sitting there and actually just thinking about their life. And so most people go through life reactively when you should go through life proactively. And so that's why meditation is great, and that's why the gratitude journals are great. Hopefully we're going to get a chance to talk about those, because it just makes you re-examine your life. And if you re-examine your life every single day, you're going to start to make better choices, you're going to hang around better people, and you're going to accelerate your success a lot faster. You're not going to be 33 years old and thinking, "Oh my goodness, should I go back to school and finally do what I want? Or what am I going to do? I got, you know, this setup, this relationship setup that has been a waste of time, whatever it is, if you examine your goals and your life regularly, you're going to be so much better off.
Yeah, I was actually going to go back to, talking about Early to Rise again, because earlier this week, I actually got one of those gratitude journals at MBSC, and I just think it's a fantastic idea. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the idea behind that and, what that's all about.
Sure. So the gratitude journal that we produce at ETR is a combination of two influences. The first one was a guy named Vishen Lakhiani, who spoke at Yannick Silver's internet marketing conference a couple of years ago. And he runs a company called Mind Valley in Malaysia. And I've actually been there. It's pretty darn cool. It's like all these kids sitting around in beanbag chairs all day long, figuring out how to sell meditation products to the world. So it's a very, very cool place to be. And it's funny because a lot of kids have moved from America to Malaysia to work for him for very low salaries when they could be working in California for high salaries. But there's a lot of reasons that they do it. And you can actually go on to mindvalley.com, or if you search mindvalley.com and Craig Valentine, you'll see a presentation that I did there on time management, which would be helpful to people. But anyways, he spoke about gratitude at Yannick's event. And then another one of my mentors, a coach named Dan Sullivan, recommended that in one of his books, I think it's called The Gap, which is a really great book, great audio book too. He recommended that every night, and you should, anyone who has a kid should do this and teach their kids this, but he recommended that every night you write down 5 achievements that you had for the day. And so in our gratitude journal, what we have is the gratitude side and the achievement side. It starts with the gratitude side, and you just write down things that you're grateful for, opportunities that you're grateful for, people that you appreciate, things that you're grateful you're able to do that day, and things that you're grateful to be able to do tomorrow. So there's 5 things you write down. And I started doing that after hearing Vishen, and it just reminds you, again, that introspection, it's kind of like a writing version of meditation. So if you don't want to sit there and meditate, that's not your thing, try gratitude stuff. It will really make you a better person. And everything that I do, everything that I teach is done by me first, because, I've just had a lot of stuff. I've just been trying to make myself a better person for over 25 years now. And slowly but surely, things are getting better and better. So, I wanted to do the gratitude journal stuff because it's made me much more patient. I'm a very impatient person, but it's made me more patient. Same with meditation. The gratitude has also made me more positive. It's helped me seek out more positive people. It's helped me be more appreciative, less materialistic. But at the same time, you become more successful because you help more people. And Yannick has this term, you can't outgive the universe, which means if you try and go out there and help as many people as you possibly can, at the end of the day, you're going to be more successful than if you held back your teachings. And so you really can't outgive the universe. You can't give more help to the universe without getting more of it back. Sounds a little bit hard to measure, but I really do believe in it. So all of that gratitude stuff has just, ties into that one thing I didn't get a chance to answer with the negative stuff. For example, my sister and I have never really had the greatest relationship, but I think the gratitude journaling made me realize that it's not her fault. It can start with me. I can improve the relationship. And so if you have a negative family member, and you obviously can't cut them out, maybe you live with them, maybe you have to go see them every Sunday for dinner. Otherwise, it would be even worse than it is to actually go and see them. But if you have these negative relationships, do that introspection and think, well, is there a way that I can improve it? And the gratitude journaling will help you do that. And one final thing on the gratitude journaling, when I first did it, you might struggle with finding stuff to write down, maybe in the achievements and maybe in the, what the heck was I grateful for today? I don't even know. But I just kept on writing down how easy my life was. And, if you think about it, if you were born in 1924, you were going to be put through the meat grinder of World War II. If you were born in 1950, you would have been put through the meat grinder of the Vietnam War. If you were born in you know, 100 years ago, think of how less great of a life you would have had compared to what we have now. And people who are born now are going to have even better lives. And so life just keeps on getting better and better. Absolutely does. It's more abundant. Things are way better off now than they ever were. So anybody who takes a real negative approach or thinks, you know, this whole income equality is a problem, listen, we all have it so much better than people had it 25, 50, 100 years ago. And so when you do the gratitude journaling, you think about that stuff and you realize also that it's the little things in life that are most important, that when you die, it will be all about the experiences you had, the family that you built, the legacy that you leave, the relationships that you had with other people. That's what it is going to matter. And so it gets you thinking on the right track. It gets you away from materialistic stuff. It reminds you of how to spend your time properly. And at the end of the day, it really should help you lose some stress. And so that's why I'm calling it kind of a writing version of meditation, because meditation will do all those things for you as well. Just gives you that clear thinking of, hey, here's what really matters. Here's what society's telling you what matters. Here's what, you know, the pressures of materialistic society tell you what matter. But if you write down through your gratitude journal, you'll see that you're never writing down, oh, I'm thankful for all the money that I have. Mm-hmm. I mean, you rarely, if ever, would write that down. But you're thankful for, hey, I'm thankful for my friend who did this. I'm thankful for this text. I'm thankful for how easy my life is because, you know, there's such great abundance in it. So at the end of the day, that's what the gratitude journal is for. And writing down the achievement stuff just gives you that momentum. And that's really good for people in transformations and who want to lose weight or get stronger. As, you know, personal trainers who are listening to this, they need to be able to see progress. And so, you know, there's a guy who writes an amazing blog. His name is Eric Barker. Have you ever heard of Eric Barker and his blog, Barking Up the Wrong Tree?
No.
The guy reads so many books and then synthesizes them and then interviews experts. And so the actual domain name for his blog is something really stupid. It's like Adacio or something. But if you look up Eric Barker, Barking Up the Wrong Tree, he just has amazing content. And in one of his articles, he was talking about how to motivate people. And the best way to motivate people is to get them to see progress. If people don't see progress at work, they are going to become negative employees very quickly. And so if you have trainers underneath you, or if you have interns, or if you have a friend who's going through school and they're struggling, just make them see the progress in their life. Make them, as Dan Sullivan writes in The Gap, make them see where they've gone from, they're now at point B and where they were at point A. He talks about an analogy of the horizon. You never get to the horizon, so you never get to perfection, but you always make progress. You've gone from point A to point B, even if it was just a few steps. And so look back on where you were, look at where you are now, appreciate that progress, realize you'll never hit perfection, but always keep that momentum going. And so again, the bottom line to keep people motivated is for them to understand that they are making progress and that they're having a meaningful impact on whatever they're doing.
Yeah, I just found him on Google, signed up for the newsletter, and just realized he is like 20 minutes from me. So it's,
he is an elusive man. He's very hard to get a hold of. I think he just like sits in a little dark room and reads books and interviews people. But it's
perfect
for what he's doing because he's really helping a lot of people.
Yeah, and just, you know, talking about the journal itself, you know, we got two of them in at MBSC earlier in the week. And after Mike and I talked about it, Mike is going to order a gratitude journal. He's going to order 30 of them for our whole staff, you know, and that's, yeah, and it's just, it goes to show, you know, like, you know, how important even Mike thinks it is. And it's just, it's to simplify your, you know, system of doing things to have something like that to make sure you're doing it every day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys definitely got mentioned in my gratitude journal that day when you mentioned that. But I think it just, it really helps people kind of straighten themselves out. Hmm. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And so it can help anybody from an athlete to, you know, a stay-at-home mom to somebody who doesn't feel like they have a whole lot of people to support them in the world. It gives them, you know, their own little journal diary voice that will help them out a lot.
Well, we're kind of up against the clock here, but just, you know, before we do go, I was just kind of curious, you know, Ed, what are your biggest influences these days, you know, in terms of like things that you're reading or just resources that you're using to get better?
Well, definitely anything from Mark Ford, who has written tons and tons of articles on Early to Rise that are there for free for the reading. James Altucher has a great podcast at Stansberry Radio. I read the transcripts of those podcasts. He interviews a lot of interesting people. So that's another guy. I've read a lot of Stoic philosophy, so a lot of Epictetus, Marcus Aurelius, Meditations. Those are books that have really influenced me as well in the last couple of years, which Ryan Holiday, who's a guy who did a lot of marketing for Tucker Max's books, just wrote a book called The Obstacle is the Way, and it's all about Stoic philosophy. There's another book that is near and dear to me called A Guide to the Good Life, which is Abundant Living Through Stoic Philosophy. So those are other ones. And then in training, there's a guy who works at Jim Jones named Bobby Maximus on Twitter, who I think is just the most interesting guy. He's actually the closest thing to evidence that you can out-train a bad diet, because he posts workouts that to me are just insane. He's a former UFC fighter named Robert McDonald, and he'll go and post these insane workouts, and he uses the AirFit bike that Mike likes, the Schwinn thing.
Oh, yeah.
He uses a of that, so Mike would probably like his conditioning stuff, maybe not some of his other workouts, but he's at Jim Jones in Utah, and then he goes and posts these photos of the things that he eats, and it's unbelievable how, like, he's got like a double bacon cheeseburger every day, plus onion rings, french fries, a milkshake, and a root beer, or a regular beer. I'm not sure if it's a root beer or a regular beer. Anyways, he's the guy that I follow on Twitter and get a lot of training ideas from. And then there's Men's Health and, you know, T-Muscle. I still read those things from time to time and get some ideas out of there. So those are the main influences on me right now. And then also my discussions with Matt Smith, but no one listening to this will really get a chance to enjoy those.
So, you know, again, you know, keeping up on turbulencetraining.com, earlytorise.com, and also Craig is on Twitter, always posting fantastic stuff on Twitter. If you're not following him, you're nuts, at Craig Ballantyne on Twitter. And anything else that's like coming up or people should keep an eye out for, Craig?
Well, you know, every June we do a Turbulence Training Summit in San Diego. Last year we had Martin Rooney there. It's really for trainers wanting to improve their businesses. This year we're going to have Rachel and Alan Cosgrove there. So that's in June every year. People can read about it at ptsummit.com. And we're really growing our Turbulence Training certification, which, you know, we teach them all of the fundamentals of Turbulence Training. But we also, I believe, we're the only certification that is focused on fat loss transformations and helping people, helping trainers actually get clients at the same time. So that's what we combine in our certification course, to actually give people the missing piece of the puzzle so that they can take all their knowledge that they know about training and turn it into an actual business where they get clients, and whether it's boot camps or whether it's small group training or personal training. So that's a big project in my world right now too.
Very cool. We'll have links for all that stuff in the show notes. But, you know, again, Craig, thank you so much for taking the time to talk. It's been great catching up.
Yeah, really great questions, Kevin. Thank you so much. And say hi to Mike for me.
Absolutely. We'll catch you next time. Take care.
Okay, thanks.